Church Planters Conference, but more than that, I know his pastor, Brother George Pert, and then I know his pastor that they were saved under or got right with God under, and that's a man named Bob Nolan, and I remember him from way long time ago. And when I heard that name, I'm like, I know Bob Nolan. I know him. Why? I haven't talked to him in a long time, so I'm expecting to get his phone number and making a phone call tomorrow. If the brother does good, if he don't, I ain't calling him because I don't tell him that he got all messed up and everything. But if he does good, I'll call him, all right? I'm just kidding. So they're starting a church, as I mentioned, in the Tulsa area. He can tell you about that. But we're glad to have them here tonight, so you come preach to us.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. I'm thankful for just the hospitality that our family has been treated with the rooms and food and the gift that was in the hotel room. I'm thankful for everything. So thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Church, for everything. It sure means a lot to us, and it's definitely an encouragement to me. So and to us, all of us as well. And it was so, we're so excited about being here. I was telling our church about it, and we were able to bring a future church member. He's going to be one of our church members here once we organize as a church body here in the next few weeks, is Reginald. And I'm going to introduce him here in a second. I'll start with my wife first. My name is Roland, and then my wife's Tess, and then we have twin girls, Charity and Liberty, and then Isaac is our middle child. And then we have Daniela and Jeremiah. And then also Reginald is with us as well. He's been a faithful, been there since pretty much day one. When we started, he's seen our sign that we were putting up, and he's been faithful ever since. So I'll start kind of in 2015. We surrendered for full-time ministry out of Lafayette, Louisiana. That's Bob Nolan's church. That's who Pastor was talking about just recently. And we moved from Lafayette, Louisiana, by faith to Tampa, Florida, which is a blessing. Who probably wouldn't do that? But not knowing really nothing at all, knowing that we're going to Bible college and not having a house or a job or anything, just by faith took that step, and the Lord provided all through Bible college. I was able to start a business out there installing fences. And then in 2019, the Lord really spoke to my heart, and we were always asking God to reveal His will, what He wanted from us, what He wanted us to do. And we were faithful in Westgate Baptist Church in Tampa, Florida. We were running a bus ministry. I think I received my CDL license at the time, doing some things with children and just trying to be as faithful as we can. I was in Bible college. I was a junior in Bible college at the time, and the Lord spoke to my heart about the state of Oklahoma. Okay, and I've never been to Oklahoma at all in my life, at all. I didn't know really nobody in Oklahoma. And that's how the Lord works. Yeah, I know it is a wicked place. Yeah. Yeah. And we prayed about it once I graduated Bible college. We took a survey trip there, and the Lord really gave us peace about Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so about a year ago now, we moved from Florida to Oklahoma. Now that's a bummer right there. It's one thing to move from Louisiana to Florida, and then you move from Florida to Oklahoma. That was a little discouraging. To be honest, okay? Can I be honest? I'm behind the pulpit tonight. I mean, really, and I'm the preacher, so I got to be honest. And I do miss it, but we knew that that's where the Lord wanted us. And we moved into a little missions house, two bedroom. It was eight of us, and we were in an area in Tulsa. We knew the Lord didn't want us like in that area. He wanted a South Tulsa area. And so we began to just, again, pray. And the pandemic was starting to kind of spike up, and it was kind of starting to go crazy. We were able to get into a house. We didn't have a job. I didn't have a job at the time. And the landlord allowed us to move into a house, not showing any proof of income, just pretty much by my word. I said, I will guarantee you I will pay the rent. And I don't have a job right now, but I guarantee I'll pay the rent. And she said, okay, all right. And she's a Christian lady, so I was thankful for that. And so we knew the Lord wanted us to start a church. We were really praying, looking for a place to start. And it was kind of difficult, especially during a pandemic. But the Lord opened up a door to start our church, Foundation Baptist Church, out of a dance studio. And it was they teach ballet and some formal dancing. Nothing too crazy, but it's a dance studio. And so it was going to be a tear down and set up. So we would go on Saturday with an enclosed trailer. I would pull it with my truck and we would set it all up on Saturday. And then after church, we would tear it all down. And it was pretty tough. It was a lot of work, but it was a good work. And the Lord blessed. We were able to run a bus route through it. And even before that, the first Sunday service on June 22nd, we started. We had 25 in attendance, and we put up a banner. It was like a corner storefront property. We put up the banner, and that's where Reginald seen the banner, us putting it up at the time. And the Lord really just moved in his life, and he's been faithful ever since that. And so that was June 22nd. And a little time after that, we were able to, again, start a bus ministry. The Lord blessed several souls saved, and I'm thankful for the bus ministry. I have a burden for the bus ministry. And so in December, we were able to secure a storefront location, an empty shell there, and we totally remodeled it, a more permanent facility. And the Lord's blessed that and provided just a large amount of different things. And I'm so blessed to stand up here. I don't really come from a Christian background. My parents and my family wasn't in the ministry, so you know I came from in Louisiana. I came from a worldly standpoint, living for the world. And it's just amazing to live for the Lord every day. And he has taken me places that I never would think I would go. And because we're faithful to him, and I'm thankful for my wife and just serving the Lord, you know. So we've been bus ministry. We try to assist those needs there for bus children. Maybe their parents might work overnight. Maybe a vehicle, whatever the case may be. And we try to feed them and give them the gospel as much as we can. What we're also doing, I'm kind of giving you a few little things that we've done for the community. We're able to give book sacks away. We are partnered with Walmart. They have came on board with our church and said, we're behind you. Walmart, I mean, God can use these different companies and different things for his glory. And he has used Walmart. He has used other different corporate-owned businesses there. And just out of amount of prayer, I mean, there's several different companies that have come and said, look, hey, we want to help you. And one of the things that we're going to be doing as a church here in the future, and we already have everything, basically, is that we're actually technically Bixby, and it's south of the Tulsa area. And there's about 35 police officers. And Harold Kendrick, I actually mentioned your name to Harold Kendrick. He knows you, preacher. And he's one of the Bixby police officers there, and they want me to come on board as a chaplain. And I'm taking it kind of slow there, praying about it and asking the Lord to give me wisdom. But what we're doing, we bought some tactical book sacks that the Lord provided, and we're going to give those tactical book sacks with the gospel in it. There's going to be Bibles, there's going to be different resources for them, gospel centered. But it's a really nice tactical book sack. We're going to give that to each police officer and be a blessing to our community. I'm in contact with one of the lead officers there, and they said the officers are going to flip whenever they see this. And so, you know, just serving the Lord and being a blessing and just being faithful and watching the Lord move is quite amazing. It really is. And I mean, I can go story after story after story to tell you what he has done in my life and how he has spared me. And I'm sure thankful. I'm a walking testimony of what the Lord is doing. And if he can use me, he can use anybody. He really can. So I was a mess, and the Lord cleaned me up, and he's using me. So I'm thankful for that. Well, we're going to turn to a familiar passage that you're familiar with, because I seen it on your theme here. I was looking back there, and I said, faith over fear. That is really cool theme. And then I got up close here, and then I read it. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm preaching on that tonight. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And I thought to myself, I said, should I preach that? Or, I mean, if I choose something else, I might be in a bind. I don't have any notes on anything else tonight. So Hebrews chapter number 11. And let's all stand as we pay reverence to the Word of God. That's okay with everyone here. Preaching out of the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter number 8 is when Nehemiah opened the book, they all stood automatically. So I'm thankful for the Word of God. I truly am. And It is neglected. It is neglected here in America for sure. We have so much access to it, and it is definitely neglected here and rejected. And that's why we need to be lights and salt, right? We know a lot about salt now in the last couple of weeks. I mean, we've come in contact with a lot of salt. So we need it. We need it. So verse number 1 in chapter number 11 in the book of Hebrews says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And I'll stop there and might go a little further, but let's ask the Lord to bless this evening. Lord, we just thank you for today, and I'm thankful for the hospitality and just a good local church here in the city of Springfield. I ask you just to bless this place and just protect it, watch over it, provide for it, and just help us be salt and light into a dark world, Lord. So I ask you to bless the message tonight, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The author of Hebrews here, which is unknown, we can speculate, but this person, whoever he was, didn't assign his name to the letter of Hebrews. And well, we do know that he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? And was very intellectual with the Old Testament. I mean, and by the way, to understand the book of Hebrews here, you have to know a little bit about the Old Testament. The author is constantly going back into Scripture and talking about Moses and Aaron and sacrificing of the animals and the little Levitical law, the tabernacle. He goes and talks about this man, this high priest called Melchizedek. And all of this is a type of Christ. OK, sacrificing was temporary and again, it was a type of Christ. And this was a picture that was to come of Jesus dying on the cross. OK, so Judaism, a popular religion at the time, said you must follow, you know, these rituals and stuck in their traditions of men. Blinded by their pride, and they said that they will reject or add Jesus to their tradition, and this overwhelming concept to me to do this and do that, and you got to do this and do that, and I say this, that it is done, right? It's done. Jesus said that it is finished on the cross, that it is finished. It's finished. It's done. Every other religion, you know, says do this, do that, do this, but ours is done. Jesus said it's finished. So we get to the book of Hebrews and we see how it's talking about faith there. And I want to go back when I was talking about how it's done, it's finished, it's paid for in full. And when I got to our hotel this evening, I got in, I said my name and I checked in and they gave me the card. Said, you know, it's all paid for. Here you go. Here's the key to your room. I was like, wow, what a picture of salvation there. How you die, once you die, you accept and you understand who Christ is, that you stand eye to eye, face to face with him, and he lets us, that's unwilling, by the way, we're unwilling, we understand that tonight, that we are unwilling to be in the presence and have access to the throne of God, okay? We got to understand that tonight, that we are undeserving to have access to the Lord. But as I got into my hotel today, I was very, very thankful and grateful to get that key. And just, you know, it's one thing to pay for something, another thing to give you something and say it's paid in full. Here's the keys to it. And I was thankful for that. And as Christians, we become so busy, I feel like, with life and how we're doing this and we're doing that. And it's good to be busy. I like to be busy. I don't like to just sit around the house or anything like that. I like to be busy. I'm not a couch potato. But I like to be busy, but we become so busy in our life, okay, that we miss the main point. I think COVID-19 has taught us something here, that we can stay still for a second, that we can kind of wait. This snowvid is what they're calling it. This snowvid has taught us, you know, to kind of stand still, and how the book of Exodus chapter number 14 talks about stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, right? That it's good to stand and wait and rest and just kind of patiently wait on the Lord. And again, we become so busy, we forget and we miss what the Lord is doing. We get so busy sometimes, we miss what God is going to do, wants to do, and might be doing. And we miss it. And we see that. And in parenting and in marriage that we become so busy. We miss our children maybe growing up, or we miss just the highlights of their year because we become so busy. And we must just kind of just take it easy and just let the Lord work and watch the Lord work. So going back to the book of Hebrews, the author goes through the Old Testament and proves how Christ is better. That's pretty much the main theme of Hebrews, is that how Christ is better than Moses and how Christ is better than all of these Bible characters. Yeah, they were faithful to the Lord. Yes, they did all that. But Christ is superior over all of that. We must understand that. That Christ is superior, and I want to remind you that Christ is superior over all our problems. He's superior over the virus and over all these different problems that we're having in our life. And if we're honest, that we all have difficult, you know, things maybe going on in our life, but He's superior over that, and He knows all of these things. We got to understand it. And so, why am I trusting in this, or why am I trusting in that when I'm relying on my own strength, and that we have a better Savior? And with a better solution, right? He has the solution to our problems, Jesus Christ. So why rely on something that I know that will come up short, that I know that will fail me? He is better than all the materialistic thing that the world has to offer, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. He's better than all of that stuff. So this is what the author is showing here. He's showing them this. He's trying to build a case that Jesus, and showing them Jesus is better and has done away with all of these things. And so we get to chapter 11, and the author explains what faith is, and he gives examples of it. He uses examples of the Old Testament characters, you know, how what faith relates to them, and we call it the Hall of Fame of Faith, right? I'm sure you've kind of heard a little bit about it, since your theme is faith over fear, and that is a good theme, especially this time of year, faith over fear. And so we see as these characters, what they put their faith in. They put their faith in God. And I want to challenge you to put your faith in God and really rely on the Lord. I mean, really rely on Him. And so I think I speak for everyone tonight when I say it's easier said than done. If you're really going to rely on the Lord and really put your faith in Him, it is easier said than done. And I want to challenge you to do that this evening. Whenever I actually... Me and my family, and I wouldn't be anywhere without my wife. She's got me back in church. I joke around, say I saved her from damnation, but I know that's just a joke. She got me back in church, and that's how I was able to meet Brother Nolan. And it's really a miracle that I'm standing up here tonight. It's literally a miracle. I shouldn't be here, but the Lord is really, really graceful and loving. And I'm honored. I'm privileged to preach His word. Just to trust and acknowledge Him and understand that He is in control. And when I understood that, I was able to basically sacrifice everything that we had in Louisiana, leave that behind, started a business in Florida, leave that behind. And when I did that, it was a lot more difficult for me to leave Florida, and I'm sure you understand why. It was very difficult for me to leave Florida over Louisiana and to move to Oklahoma. But when we did this, the Lord really put us in a place and gave us and blessed us with things that we've never been a part of. Really, literally, never been. We never lived in a home like we do now. I never had a job like I did, and I ran a business in Florida. And I'm not bragging, and I'm just telling you what the Lord does. This is all God. This is nothing to do with me. Okay, I am supposed to be. I'll just be blunt with you. I'm either supposed to be in the grave right now or prison. It's one of the two, okay? But I'm up here, so this is definitely the Lord, okay? This has nothing to do with my intellectual mind or anything like that. I am not. There's nothing. None of this is me. This is all God here, okay? This is all the Lord Jesus Christ, and I give my life to Him. And so this is. It's easy to rely on self and try to do it on our own strength. It's very, very, very easy to do that, especially us men. You know, the mindset of, oh, I'll take care of it. I'm in control. I'll do it. It's very easy for us to get in that mentality there. And when we talk about faith, everybody puts their faith in something. OK, we put our faith in a lot of things. We deposit money in the bank. We get maybe prescriptions from doctors and rely and have faith in them. And I'm not downplaying any of that. And everybody exercises faith basically on a daily basis, weekly basis, whatever. And then you have people that exercise faith of saving of the soul, which most of them are wrong, right? I mean, the only person that saves the soul is Jesus Christ. But some people put their faith in these idolaters and graven images and materialism and humanism. And even there's religious people out there, which all of that, if you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ, we know, you know, what's happening next. And millions and millions of people, it amazes me. And it's very, very, you know, eye opening to me. But millions and millions of people put their faith in something that sends them straight to hell. You know, we got to step it up. We really have to make this a priority in our life to give the gospel to a lost and dying world. We really do. We really do. There's a lot of deception out there. I said there's a lot of deception out there. There really is. And so we see what faith is, and it's a set of beliefs with a sense of trusting and confidence in something or someone. OK, for us, it would be Jesus Christ. It's saving faith, the only faith that gives eternal life. And it starts. OK, listen to me. It starts at salvation. Faith starts at salvation, gives eternal life. And what he did for us on the cross, our faith starts at salvation, and then it should continue. OK, it shouldn't stop at salvation. It starts at salvation. So let's read verse number one here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance here means a assurance or a foundation of something that can be built off of, or having confidence in which then gives hope. OK, so when you're building a house, one of the first things that you do or you build there is the foundation. Correct. You get that foundation right. And really strong, and that's what faith is. Faith is the foundation, and it's again, we have to understand this, that faith is the foundation. It's not the air condition. It's not the door where we open and close as we please. It's not the windows. It's not the rooftop. It's the foundation. It's the main thing there. Okay, and our faith in Christ should be foundational in our daily lives. It should be. Okay. Bible talks about in the book of Psalms how if the foundation would be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Does it do nothing? So here's the thing. Whatever you put your faith in, whatever you're trusting in, whatever you're believing in, that's where your hope comes from. OK, so if my priority, if my assurance, if my confidence comes from the news media, well, I'm not going to have a lot of hope. I have no hope. OK, the White House and all these other different things going on. Whatever I put my faith in, that's where my hope comes from. And so we have to understand that wherever the more I put my faith and I trust in God, the more he will give us hope in our life. And the more you start doubting God, the more you will feel hopeless. The more you will feel hopeless if you start doubting God and questioning God, you know, the more you will feel hopeless. In verse number six, it says in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we'll get to that here in a second. So faith is truly believing and total relying on God, total reliance on him and not of ourselves. And that is our substance, our foundation of our hope. And we will not only have hope, but the result of our faith should produce works that only God can do. OK, so the book of James, chapter number two says, so even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. So James is saying here, how can I truly believe and rely on Christ and understand what he has done for me and not do something for him? If there's someone here tonight that has fully believed and trusted Christ as their Savior and is not doing anything for the Lord, the book of James says that's dead faith. It's dead. So we have hope and works, but it starts with faith, okay? Relying on him and only him. Not relying on anything. I'm going to rely truly on Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. I'm not going to rely on man. I'm not going to rely on this person. I'm not going to Christ is who I'm relying on. And whatever God's word says, that's what we're going to do. You know, you think about the book of Joshua and have the Joshua mentality, men. As for me and my family, hey, look, I'm not worried about whatever everybody else is doing. But for me and my family, you know, we're going to serve the Lord. OK, I don't know what anybody else is going to do and what everybody else. I'm not really worried about that. But as far as me and my family, what we're going to do, we're going to serve the Lord. Okay, we're going to try to encourage you. We're going to give the gospel out. We're going to do all of those things. But we're going to serve the Lord no matter what. Whatever happens, hey, this is what we're doing. And so it's believing in something you cannot maybe or did not see. Verse number one again. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. OK, obviously, we can't see God. We can see him work, but we have the evidence that he is real through creation and different instances he did in your life and in my life. OK, we're all going to stand before him without excuse. The book of Romans, chapter number one, says we're without excuse. We should be able to look at our human bodies and say, wow, there is a creator here. Look at the world. Look at what's going on. I mean, there's a creator here. So we're going to be without excuse. God has given us the evidence and shown us that he is real. Again, my background and where I've come from, he has shown me that he is real in my life over and over. And when I rejected him, he has still shown me and been faithful to him and been faithful to me. And I am so thankful that he didn't give up on a sinner like me. I'm being honest here. I'm just telling you the truth. So just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. OK, we have to look at the evidence. And you think about an earthly illustration here. Think about the term jury duty and how they basically randomly select you or somebody else. And they get this group of people together and. They show these different things, whatever it is. Maybe it's a murder case or a robbery or whatever it is. And they give a decision on something they never seen based off the what? The evidence. Based off the evidence. And this is what verse number one speaks about. We trust Christ, total reliance on him. He gives us hope and then makes it so clear and evident in our life that he is real and he's with us through and even though we can't see him, he's still there. He's still real. Right. It takes faith. It takes faith in our Bible reading consistently and raising a family and working a job and even being maybe self-employed, whatever the case may be, in church attendance. Even when things get in the way of scheduling, hey, I got to put some of those things aside again, because me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to be faithful in his work. I'm going to have to push some of these habits or hobbies or different things aside to serve him in some capacity, whatever the case may be, that I have to be faithful to him in my giving and in my whatever it is. And in verse number six, again, it says, I want you to really look at this in verse number six. I'm sure you've read this a couple times here, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. OK, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we can say this here tonight, that without faith, it's impossible to know him. Without faith, relying and believing in him, it's impossible to know God. And he reveals himself when faith is involved. Again, he explodes in your life. He exploded in my life. When I truly believed in him and had faith and say, all right, Lord, here is my life. Use it for your honor and glory. He has taken me places that I never thought I would ever go. I never thought I would live in other states. I mean, all these just different opportunities that he has given me in a family. And wow, it's amazing. It really is. It's amazing. And how you just let the Lord work and just give him your life. Just give him your life and serve him and be faithful to him. You don't have to live this wicked lifestyle that the world has. You know what you do with the wicked lifestyle of the world? You crumble it up and you throw it in the trash, okay? Because it has nothing to offer. Sin is only good for a season, and if that, okay? If that, it is no good. All right? Sin is no good. So there might be people here this evening that maybe God doesn't seem real to you, or you might have doubt in your life, and we talked about this, and there might be maybe an addiction in your life, there might be something. Who are you trusting in? That's the question. Who are you trusting in? Really, who are you trusting in? Are you truly trusting in the Lord through your marriage, through your job, whatever it is? Are you truly trusting in him? And by trusting in God only trusting in God, he will give you hope. Okay, there's a lot of hopeless people out there. And if you understand this, take the word of God and go give this to somebody that has no hope, because there's a lot of hopeless people out there. Okay, a lot of hopeless people because they're lost. They're without Christ. And faith does some great things. Faith does some great, great things. He saved my faith and my Lord saved my life, saved my marriage. And it is doing some great things. We're seeing souls saved. We had two souls saved last Thursday. And just being faithful to Him. We're watching the Lord just go through Tulsa. And just, it's amazing. It really is. And I'm sure it's happening here in Springfield as well. But really, I want to conclude and ask you this. Where is your faith? Where's your faith at, Christian? Where is your faith at? Where is it? Are you truly trusting in the Lord? Let me ask you this. Are you willing to sacrifice, to let go of maybe your career, your job, your hobbies, your habits? You're like, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm just telling you what the Word of God says, that, you know, you have to put your faith in Him. Are you true? Are you ready to let some of those things go for the Lord? And if not, you might want to check yourself. You might want to check your relationship with the Lord. You might want to check your faith, because God's calling you to do something. I don't know what it is, but are you willing to give up whatever it is? It might not be your job. I mean, I don't know. But are you? Not everybody is called to be a church planner. Not everybody is called to be a pastor. Not everybody is called to be a missionary. But we are all called to go and give the gospel out to the lost and dying world. That I know. So what is God calling you to do? Are you being faithful to Him? Are you truly trusting and believing in Him? Because when you do, He's gonna blow up. He's gonna blow up your life. Again, I'm speaking on what God has done in my life and in my family's life and at Foundation Baptist Church in Tulsa, and I'm sure He's done it here in Springfield, Missouri, at Berean Baptist Church. I'm thankful to be here. So, what is He doing? What is He doing for you? And again, I'll say this one more time. Where is your faith at? Are you truly trusting in the Lord alone? Let's all stand as we close tonight in prayer. Pastor, I'll let you. I'm finished here, Pastor. Lord, we just thank You again for Your faithfulness, Your goodness, how we're undeserving, and how You still allow us to do Your work. I pray, Lord, that You just bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
I like the Bible, don't you? Very simple. What are you trusting in tonight? What are you trusting in this time of pandemic? You trusting in the Lord? Things have not maybe turned out the way you thought maybe they would. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. If you need to come tonight, you come do business with Him. I can tell you this, you got to come to God and believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I think about old Noah. Can you imagine God coming to Noah and saying, I want you